Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm pretty confused. I mean, does McDonald's sell hugs and give away hamburgers, or do they give away hugs and sell hamburgers?
You paid with love, and that's all we need.
Your total is one big family hug.
Oh. Can you create calm in the chaos of consumers? Good. Let's do it.
You remember McDonald's hug campaign, and there's digital visionary philosopher David Shingy, you know, the type TED talking, hey, the world is a story, brands are stories, corporations are stories. Are you getting the story?
Harley Davidson doesn't sell you a motorbike. They sell you the experience of escaping from reality for a few hours and getting out on the open road and being a badass rebel.
Steve Jones, branding guru on Harley Davidson. We're not just buying stuff, folks. We're not drinking Coke. We're teaching the world to sing.
I'd like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand.
We are transacting in meaning, in the economy of ideas.
So it's all about the art of storytelling.
We invited women to be part of a research group testing a revolutionary product. RBX is a beauty patch developed to enhance the way women perceive their own beauty.
You aren't large, ladies, or plus-sized. You are just allowing the Dove Corporation to help tell the world that the story of your body is not the story of America's top model, some fashion industry-imposed story. No, it's your story with a little help from Dove. But when Starbucks suggests that people talk about race when they go to get their coffee in their new Race Together campaign... Well, what went wrong at Starbucks? Later this hour, a very provocative book looks at what might be a benign convergence going on between the values of people, the stories they tell, and this Kafkaesque conformity world of corporate branding. Maybe to simply characterize it as bad is missing some bigger point. But to help us with the Starbucks dilemma and other corporate initiatives, is this advertising or something else, is Al Genie, a professor of business ethics at Quinlan School of Business, Loyola University, Chicago, and resident philosopher at WBEZ.
I think there are four responsibilities of business, or three absolute responsibilities and one option. First of all, every business has to make money. You know, if you're producing the cure for AIDS but can't pay your employees, can't pay the rent, you're out of business. Am I correct, John?
Yes, yes.
Secondly, you have to be legal. You have to abide by the law. If you don't abide by the law, you go to jail. End of issue, or you're sued, and that's it. Thirdly, and I don't think this is an option, you're required to be ethical. That is, you're required to live by the customs and the moral standards of the society of which you are a part, to speak in general terms. And the fourth option, I want to say this very clearly, is to be philanthropic, to be concerned with others. And I think that what Starbucks is doing in a very public way, although I must argue perhaps in a very clumsy way, is just doing what every business should do. That is, be concerned about the issues of society of which it is a part.
But I'm thinking there's maybe a deeper convergence going on here. Yeah, mm-hmm. Make money. Yeah, don't be awful. Yeah, don't pollute. Obey the laws, that sort of thing. But Starbucks seems to suggest that it has become a public square in these tiny little rooms.
Right.
McDonald's suggests that its transactions about Big Macs also have a component of family to them. This is much deeper than just the kind of corporate branding thing at the stockholders meeting and the live well and don't, you know, get caught kind of deal.
Right. I think he was correct when he said this may be difficult to take because you're confronting people. I know you're in New York in general right now, but in Chicago, the baristas actually chatter in the morning. It's difficult to get out even on a regular day without, how are you? Hope you have a good day. I'm in here to get a cup of coffee and run. This is stop and go, not stop, chat, and then go.
The key sort of question is, why does the McDonald's hug work and the racial discussion at Starbucks not work?
I'm not sure. Does the hug work because it goes and you know where it goes to? It's not just, is it a real hug or is the hug metaphorical? Is that easier to do? Is a hug easier physically than a conversation? Why do you think it works? Seriously. I don't know.
I mean, I think you've got so many people in America and in the world engaged in a branding exercise where they imagine that the story that they're telling is some broad humanitarian story from hip hop people who are talking about, you know, get off the streets, you know, don't be a part of gangs, the fashion branding of Sean Puffy Coombs or P. Diddy or whoever you want to say, all the way straight through to Starbucks wanting to talk about race. Everyone's involved in this. And I'm just wondering if it's a kind of enforced hypocrisy, or are we really morphing into some fundamentally new kind of democracy that engages corporate ideas here?
I understand where it's coming from. My question is just timing. It's my son waking me up at 3:30 and says, "Daddy, I want to play." I don't want to play. It's 3:30. I love you. Go back to bed.
All right. Well, then accounting for inappropriate sort of disruptions of the day-to-day life here, you know, do you have a message? Are you a storyteller, Al?
Yeah.
Are you telling the story of the Al Genie experience here? Is that what you are, or are you just Al Genie, the guy at WBEZ?
When I used to do a little more political theory, I have to remember this basic democratic principle that in our society, even a fool has a right to free speech, but not every fool is right. And I'm not sure I want to hear every fool's speech. And I'm not sure I'm obligated in a democracy to hear every fool's speech. Now, this is a metaphorical use here. I'm not accusing Starbucks of being foolish or being a fool. But I don't want to hear your story right now. I'm just not there to hear it right now. Maybe 30% of this line wants to talk to you about race or will engage you on this question. But not me. Please, may I go now?
All right. So finally, before we go, Franz Kafka would look at the Starbucks thing and go, right, that's the society I envisioned, where these corporations force people to, in ritualized ways, talk about things like race, but without any sort of human meaning. Starbucks would say, and maybe Malcolm Gladwell would say, on the other side, no. In fact, it's the Kafka sound, but in fact, people are sincere. And if they're sincere, then it's not a death force like Kafka would have us believe, but it's something good. Where do you stand here?
I think you're right on. And I would come from Viktor Frankl, who would talk about the same thing in Kafka, that ultimately all corporate talk, all corporate speak is an attempt to seduce us into corporate needs and sales and to have us march all the same way, et cetera, et cetera. But I think people are bristling about this because they are simply interfering with our space, and we're not used to that. So this may be benign, and we simply have to get used to it. But right now, we're uncomfortable with it.
So the takeaway is benign but ham-fisted. Give me the latte.
That's exactly the correct phrase.
Al Genie, professor of business ethics at Quinlan School of Business, Loyola University, and resident philosopher at WBEZ Chicago. Thanks so much.
Thank you.